This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack, now extended until the end of August. Order today at EdenPure.com and don't forget to use code word HOWIE3.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Capitol Police respond to an active bomb threat. That's on Fox News right now. Also, the Pentagon is saying that they've evacuated 7,000 people on U.S. flights from Afghanistan. 508 says Kamala should have taken a European tour instead of hightailing it out to Vietnam so she can at least say that she's been to Europe.
Will I never be to heaven, but I've been to Oklahoma.
508 says I would love to hear George ask them about tearing up Trump's evacuation plan. If you missed that story yesterday, it was built up, so I was a little let down, because when you build up a story so much, I think that you're going to tell me Joe Biden's resigning. And it turns out that the Biden administration had gotten rid of, I think it was called like a crisis and contingency bureau, that was basically trying to avoid Benghazi-style evacuations and make it more orderly. They got rid of that a few months before this catastrophe. So timing in this administration is truly something else. But what I want to talk about here is I want to go back to this topic. I want to take your calls on it. Joe Biden talking about the Taliban, talking about how they really couldn't have done anything differently. You know, there usually people say mistakes were made. Joe won't even go that far. He's like, no, they weren't. Things went pretty smoothly.
Whoa, what TV are you guys watching? Everything looks good where I am.
844-500-4242. There's a piece, The Taliban Captured Joe Biden, by Daniel Henninger. And I want to read you this last part of it. It says, once the U.S. is gone and Kabul is off the world's TV screens, the Taliban will methodically identify and execute their opponents, including the thousands of Afghans who worked with the U.S. and don't escape before August 31st. By the way, this is something that my fiance mentioned to me last night, and a lot of people have brought up. I have not been highlighting enough that a lot of these soldiers, and I think someone brought this up yesterday, maybe it was on Fox, that Joe Biden really downplayed what these people sacrificed and how we gave them our word as a country, and they thought we were going to stand by them. And as much as I am focused on getting the American civilians out of there, I do think that's an important part of the story that I could probably highlight a little bit more, which is these people were betrayed too. There's a lot, they sacrificed a lot of civilians and a lot of soldiers in the idea that they were going to have some sort of freedom from the Taliban. And that has all been ripped apart in a matter of days. The piece goes on to say, soon the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan will join the sovereign nations of Iran, North Korea, Syria, China, and Russia, plus the Islamic terror groups in northern Africa that comprise a rough network of staging grounds, financing, transit points, shell companies, and cyber communication used daily to undermine the interests of the United States and worse. In a cold speech Monday, President Biden threw Afghans under the bus. He should spend the next 3.5 years pulling them out. He absolutely did. And he is, you know, I can't even say he's hiding anymore, because he gave a strange interview with George Stephanopoulos. And there were a lot of parts of this that grabbed attention. Let's go to cut two.
Back in July, you said a Taliban takeover was highly unlikely. Was the intelligence wrong, or did you downplay it?
There was no consensus. You go back and look at the intelligence reports. They said that it was more likely to be sometime by the end of the year.
You didn't put a timeline out when you said it was highly unlikely. You just said flat out it's highly unlikely the Taliban would take over.
Yeah. Well, the question was whether or not the idea that the Taliban would take over was premised on the notion that somehow the 300,000 troops we had trained and equipped was going to just collapse. They were going to give up. I don't think anybody anticipated that.
I think a lot of people anticipated this was going to collapse. And I think a lot of people were telling you over and over again that you should leave troops there. And I think a lot of those people are covering for you now, but I don't know how long that's going to last. I'm getting the vibe that the rats are realizing this ship is sinking, and I don't know if they want to be on it. Speaking of that flashback that George is referring to, I believe that's cut one, right, Jared? Let's play that.
Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
Is it? Can you please clarify what they have told you about whether that will happen or not?
That is not true. They did not. They did not reach that conclusion.
So which is it? He's been on every side of this. I also love how George phrases it. Did you not have that information, or were you downplaying it? You know what downplaying would translate to in the Trump years? Are you lying? Are you a serial liar who's lying serially?
Well, that is the most heinous crime Donald Trump ever did, was downplay the virus.
Exactly.
We still get callers complaining about that.
Yeah, Chris, Brian.
Yeah. He downplayed the virus. He's terrible.
Speaking of that, though, Carol Markowitz had a tweet yesterday, and I showed it to Howie. She said, you know, I like to imagine what my Facebook feed would look like if this were Donald Trump, and all the people saying, my three-year-old just looked at me and said, Mama, why are we doing this? I have so many friends on Instagram, on Twitter, you know, sanctimonious social justice warriors, Idina Menzel types, who would have no problem if this were Trump saying, I just can't look my daughter in the eyes and tell her this is the United States of America and this is what we're doing to people. And now they're silent. Now they're posting pictures of their iced coffee. You know, can't believe it's already August. Well, where's the outrage?
Pumpkin's back.
Cher. We need Cher. We need Sean Penn. Idina Menzel. Where are these people? I'll even take Keith Olbermann at this point. Where's the sanctimony? That is my question. You know who actually has a really funny bit? So Jesse Waters on Fox, he has a very young baby. I think the baby's a couple months old. And he says that Jesse Jr. looks over from his crib and says to him, Dad, what's going on in Afghanistan? But this is what these people wanted us to believe, that all their kids were heartbroken about what was happening at the border and what Trump said about this and what Trump said about that. They're radio silent now. You don't hear anything about it. It's like it's not even happening. Mark, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Grace. One of the things that really is getting me, you know, you hear all these excuses from Biden and everyone's pointing fingers, but one of the big things is they say that they didn't know the Afghan army would collapse within days or hours.
Yeah.
How could they not know? They were there for 20 years. How could they not assess how bad that army was? I just want to know that.
No,
nobody knew?
No, they did know, Mark. You're absolutely right on that. The New York Times confirms what many of us suspected. This is from the National Review by Jim Garrity. The New York Times confirms what many of us suspected, that President Biden was informed of how the Taliban were likely to quickly reconquer Afghanistan, and he simply chose to lie to the American public. And it says classified assessments by American spy agencies over the summer painted an increasingly grim picture of the prospect of a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan and warned of the rapid collapse of the Afghan military, even as President Biden and his advisor said publicly that that was unlikely to happen as quickly, according to current and former American government officials. And we have all the sound of him saying it, you know, oh, that's a lie. That's not going to happen. This report from the New York Times, of all places, confirms it, that they knew exactly how bad this was going to be. And it really does make you think, like, why? I agree with Howie in the sense that usually if you're between two things, incompetence or, you know, malice, it's usually incompetence. But I can't imagine all these people, while he's got his face in a bowl of ice cream, knowing how bad this is going to be and still saying, all right, let's listen to him. And now there's talks now like, oh, they're going to pull the 25th Amendment. If they were going to do that, they should have done that before he made this decision. If people like Milley and Austin knew that he was going to strand thousands of American civilians and interpreters and all sorts of people in Afghanistan, and they knew that, and they let him do this, And now they try to pull the, oh, you know, he's losing his grip. I don't know. And speaking of people who knew, Kamala Harris, last person in the room, she was bragging about that. Let's listen to Kamala, who I'm sure right now is packing for Vietnam because she's heading there tomorrow, Hanoi Harris. And she was bragging on CNN with Dana Bash about how, oh, yeah, I was the last one. I was the last one in the room. Go ahead.
President Biden always said that he wants you to be the last person in the room, particularly for big decisions, just as he was for President Obama. He just made a really big decision. Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do. And I'm going to add to that. This is a president who has an extraordinary amount of courage.
Extraordinary.
He is someone who I have seen over and over again make decisions based on what he truly believes, based on his years of doing this work and studying these issues, what he truly believes is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something about him. Mm. He is acutely aware that it may not be politically popular or advantageous for him personally.
I got to make mention of something before I forget it here. They love using words that stand out for how not Joe Biden they are. Like when I hear the word acutely aware, I do not think Joe Biden. When I hear the words laser focused or detail oriented, I laugh out loud. Because this is a guy, I've said it once, I'll say it again, he can barely find his way into a White House entrance. And he's got four people pointing him towards the door. But then they say he's acutely aware. It's like they're rubbing it in our faces. Really strange. But yeah, we haven't heard anything from Kamala Harris. She's been pretty silent about all the Afghan women who are now in an incredible amount of danger, desperate situations. We haven't heard much from her. Vice President is rather silent. And so everyone keeps saying, oh, you know, it might be the end for Joe. But why should it just be the end for Joe? I mean, Kamala Harris was the last person in the room. So she was helping with this decision. So she's just as responsible. And then I shudder to think about President Pelosi. That's more than I can take. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. How do you as a seller know if you've realized all of the money for your property and if you sold under the best terms? Well, you wouldn't hire a refrigerator repairman to fix your valuable car. Of course not. So when you're selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. Recent real estate auctions for Grace Curley Show listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of your auction, you'll know you did everything right. You know, no money was left on the table. You don't have any regrets. Everything was handled the right way. And that's a really good feeling when you're making such an important decision. Remember, when you sell your real estate in the usual way with a broker, you have to pay the commission. But in a JJ Manning auction, the buyer pays. And that saves you right there thousands of dollars. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111. Again, Charlie Gill, I'll say it really slowly, 800-521-0111. Or go to jjmanning.com. That's jjmanning.com. We'll be back. We'll take more of your calls before Woke or Joke. 844-500-4242. If you watched this George Stephanopoulos interview, if you watched Joe Biden's speech yesterday about masking kindergartners, what part of it stood out the most to you? I know it's a tough question. I know there are a lot of elements that make people disgusted with the current state of this country, but what sound cut is jumping out at you the most? We have more to play and more to get to. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. A lot to get to here. We will take your calls, 844-500-4242. National Review has a lot of great pieces out. One by David Harsanyi, Afghanistan illustrates Biden's disastrous foreign policy instincts. I've been saying this since the beginning, as has Robert Gates and anyone who has watched Joe Biden over the years. And I'm only 29. Some people have been watching Joe Biden for, 60, 70 years? The last part of this, he says, more than all of that, it is incumbent on any administration to competently conduct a military withdrawal of its choosing and at the very least avoid humiliation. The Wall Street Journal reports today that the speed of the Taliban advances surprises the administration. That, of course, is not surprising. Biden has never shown any special wisdom or competence on foreign policy. As one of former Obama Pentagon officials put it last year, Biden isn't really a student of history. He is driven by, quote, gut instincts, end quote. Indeed, the problem is that his instincts are complete garbage. Yeah, and I think his mind is just completely gone. That's David Harsanyi from the National Review. Now, before I get to the sound of Ron DeSantis, that I'm really happy Ron DeSantis said this, because here's the issue, is that Joe Biden's the president of the United States, and he's got a major crisis on his hands. There's no denying that. I mean, once Chuck Todd admits it, the gig is up. And yet, all he seems to be focused on is this back and forth with Ron DeSantis. And it's kind of, you know, if you're at the bully pulpit and your press secretary's tweeting at Ron DeSantis and you all seem to be obsessed with the governor of Florida, it does feel a bit like punching down, no? Don't you have bigger things to worry about, like Afghanistan or inflation or the southern border? But he's obsessed. And it's really making him seem weak. And what's worse is this, they keep saying they're trading barbs back and forth. Biden will try to say something about Ron DeSantis, and Ron DeSantis comes back and just wallops him. Every time Ron DeSantis comes back and punches up at the president of the United States, he demolishes him. I'll play that for you in a sec. But first, today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will they release the full Biden Stephanopoulos interview?
No, absolutely not.
5% of the audience is optimistic that they will.
All right, let's play the Ron DeSantis. And then what I want to play, Jared, because we do have so much sound to get through, is what Joe Biden said about the Taliban. But first, this is Ron DeSantis' reaction to the president. He basically pulled a Mariah Carey, "Why are you so obsessed with me?" Cut 35.
He was on vacation. They had to ply him off of vacation to give a kind of a half-cocked statement on camera that he said wasn't taking questions. Then he goes back on vacation, and he is obsessed. While you have all the stuff going on with Afghanistan, obviously all the stuff at the southern border, which you and I have talked about, one of the biggest border disasters in the history of our country, inflation, gas prices. And what does he do? He is obsessed with having the government force kindergartners to wear masks all day in school. In Florida, we believe that that's the parents' decision. Joe Biden thinks the federal government should come in and overrule the parents and force these young kids to wear these masks. And you gotta wonder, where are your priorities that you're so obsessed with this issue and so obsessed with taking away parents' rights, and you're letting Afghanistan burn, our border burn, and so many other things in our country fall to pieces?
Yeah, Rome is burning and he's playing the fiddle. He's worried about masking kids. It really is mind-blowing. I love that, half-cocked. That's a perfect way to describe it. Sharon, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi. I just wanted to call because I am a registered nurse. I'm a psychiatric nurse. I have spent, and I'm going to say it, he has Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
One of the hallmarks that people tend to forget is that it's the new information that can't get in. That's the part of the brain that stops working first. This is why he goes back to masks and he goes back to this and he can go to the old information, but if people are trying to tell him something new, what he relies on is like, I don't like generals. You know, so this is one of the reasons he makes these horrendously stupid comments.
Yeah, no, Sharon, I don't disagree with you. Thank you for the call. We always appreciate that. Woker joke is coming up next, so get on the line now. 844-500-4242. And a special guest, because Taylor Cormier is off. We got a new Wizard of Woke in the studio.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Now, before we get to everyone's favorite segment, I see you on the lines. I'm very glad everyone's already called in. It's not too late to get on, though. We have a few more lines open. 844-500-4242. We will go to Woker Joke in 1 second. But I want to play something here quickly so I don't forget. Let's play Cut 8, Jared. This is Joe Biden being interviewed by George Steffi Stephanopoulos.
No one can name for me a time when this would end. And what constitutes defeat of the Taliban? What constitutes defeat? Would we have left then? Let's say they surrender like before. Okay. Do we leave then? Do you think anybody, the same people who think we should stay, would have said, no, good time to go? We spent over $1 trillion, George. 20 years. There was no good time to leave.
But if there's no good time, if you know you're going to have to leave eventually, why not have everything in place to make sure Americans to get out, to make sure our Afghan allies get out, so we don't have these chaotic scenes in Kabul?
Number one, as you know, the intelligence community did not say back in June or July that, in fact, this was going to collapse like it did. Number one.
Now this is where it's going to get really interesting. Because if you're the intelligence community and you specifically did say it, you're steaming right now. And I also want to mention here, whenever Joe starts counting things, number one, number two, that's always a bad idea. I guess his argument now for pulling out of Afghanistan is like the argument about it's never a good time to get a flat tire. You know, how he said it to me the other day, his phone was, you know, not working. He said it's never a good time for your phone to break. I think Joe thinks that's going to get him out of this situation by just saying, well, it never would have been a good time to pull out of Afghanistan. But that's not the argument here, Howie. The argument is, yeah, but the way you did it was wrong.
Right. That seems clear. And by the way, he wasn't appealing to the intelligence community. He was appealing to the intelligence community, which I think is somewhat related to Mumbles Menino when he used to rely on the Boston Police Department's intelligent unit.
It's really, really frightening to see this happening. And when George Stephanopoulos is pushing back, you know that Joe has really lost the left. All right, now it is time, without further ado, for everyone's favorite segment of the Grace Curley Show. It is time for Woke or Joke.
I started a joke. The joke was on me.
All right, now here's how it works. The Wizard of Woke, Taylor Cormier, is not here, so Howie Carr is filling in. He's being very generous with his time. It's usually his showtime prep, but he's going to read you a headline, and you have to decide, is it woke, as in this is real life? Yeah, this is real craziness. Or is it a joke? Did someone at the Howie Carr Radio Network make this up? Howie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Are you ready to go here?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm nervous. Let's go to Joanna. Joanna, you're first on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Joanna?
I am.
Okay.
Okay, Joanne. Joanna, here it is. Woke or Joke. College course probes the violence of toxic masculinity, using an ex-president as the example.
Woke.
That is correct.
Yeah, that was an obvious woke. I'm like, there's probably multiple
joke.
Courses on this, right?
It's the Rhode Island College. The rhetoric of toxic masculinity.
Can I guess who the ex-president is?
Would you care to guess?
Barack Obama.
One need look no further than former President Donald Trump to find a vivid illustration of this concept as it manifests itself in the early years of the 21st century.
Howie, can you you know, they're always creating new majors now, you know, global warming, all these different studies. Can you major in how evil Orange Man is?
No, I thought you were going to say toxic masculinity. That seems like a natural. If you can major, that should be a subgenre of gender studies.
Do you think you could be a course? Are you a toxic man?
I think by their standards, yes, I am indeed.
All right, indeed. Good job, Joanna. Stay on the line. We'll get your number. Some of my favorite parts about Woker Joe, because we get a lot of female callers. I think the ladies like this segment. All right, now let's go to Mark. You're next with Grace and Howie. Are you ready for your headline, Mark?
I am ready.
Okay, Mark, here's the headline. Culture warrior triggered over white woman's dumplings and noodles cook.
Oh, that's got to be woke.
Boy, you got it.
Not a joke.
Dumplings and noodles. Come on.
I saw this.
I did not know. I just thought dumplings was a Southern thing. I did not know it was a specifically racist thing. Let's see. Where is this going on here? This is from Red State, but it's someone named Vice. Oh, she's this woman named Roslyn Talusan, who has written for Vice and Refinery 29, whatever the hell that is, first asked, why did a white woman write a cookbook about dumplings and noodles?
Yeah, this is an issue that we see a lot. People get in trouble for cooking things that aren't part of their culture or their heritage. So I guess, Howie, we just have to start cooking potatoes all the time, which will be easy for me because I'm a big potato.
Now I'm beginning to see that, you know, I think this woman may be Chinese, so she may be claiming this as an Asian thing rather than a black thing.
No, that's Asian. It's dumplings.
Well, so what about chicken and dumplings, which they serve in the South all over the place? And it's fantastic, by the way.
You know what? We might need to get your expertise on this. I'm sensing a column here. Cultural appropriation is so strange. We saw this recently, too, with tequila, Howie. Kendall Jenner came out with a tequila, and people were mad that a white woman was making a tequila brand. It's absolutely insane. All right, let's go to Ellen. You're next with Howie and Grace for Woker Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Ellen?
I'm ready.
Here it is. Taliban poetry, colon. They love their colons. Yes, they write poems, and they're surprisingly diverse. Woke or joke, Ellen?
Woke.
Yes.
That's real?
That is real.
That can't be real. I'm calling a challenge on this.
There you go. There it is.
I've seen it. Poetry of the Taliban is an English language anthology of poems written by the Afghan Taliban that give an insight into the lyrical souls of the members of this group.
They are having an existential crisis, Grace.
This is from The Atlantic, so it does make sense. I mean, this is the same people who gave us the suckers and losers story. Man, their readers must be suckers and losers to be buying this garbage. All right, wow, people are on a roll. Do we even have any fake ones? Is everything real? Let's go to Dave. You're next with Woker Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Dave?
I am, Mr. Carr. It is a distinct honor and pleasure.
Thank you. Let's see if...
And if I could...
Yes.
You know, there is diversity in dumplings. You have the Eastern Europeans, the Russians have the pelmeni, and the Poles have the pierogies, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, pierogies. I'd forgotten all about those.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. I think they're all delicious, too.
Oh, the K&W cafeteria in North Carolina, that they had chicken and dumplings. Oh, man.
Was this in the time when you were trying to put on weight so you wouldn't have to get drafted?
It was in that time. I usually spent my time at the Carolina Grill in those days. But, you could put on a lot of weight, I'll tell you, with those chicken and dumplings from the K&W cafeteria. Okay, are you ready to go here, Dave?
I am.
Okay, here's the headline. C-17 evacuation flights are terrible for Afghanistan's carbon footprints.
I'm going to say that's a joke.
You got it.
Yay! Well,
by the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
Wow, we're going 4 for 4. Great job, Dave. I had been thinking, though, Howie, about not so much the C-17. What I did notice about those images, and people were commenting that it seemed like it was a majority of men. There wasn't a lot of young women or children on there. But what I noticed as far as...
You know what? We've got in those patriarchal flights out of...
A lot of people were commenting that. But what I noticed about carbon footprints, Howie, and I brought this up to you off the air, is Joe Biden, when he flies back and forth from the White House to Camp David every other night, that's got to be setting off some emissions, right?
I know.
I know it's the only choice for someone.
How would you like to be the last polar bear to die for Joe Biden's summer vacation?
What a lame summer vacation, too. Oh, gosh. And by the way, just one quick question. Where's Jill? Where's the first lady? When Melania and Trump would walk away for 2 days,
she's doing her syllabus for her class.
Oh, yeah. I'm
at
sorry,
the close right. cover before striking community college is in Newark, Delaware.
Howie, is she teaching a course on toxic masculinity featuring an ex-president? All right, let's go to Deneen. You're next with Howie and Grace. Are you ready for your headline, Deneen?
I am. Thanks.
Okay, Deneen, here it is. Is New York City's gay liberation movement too white?
That's woke.
That is correct.
Oh my gosh, Howie.
Not a joke.
Yes.
Everyone's gotten theirs right so far. This is crazy.
Yeah, Gay Liberation was commissioned on the 10th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. It's a low-key sculpture by George Siegel of two same-sex couples. Two women on a bench, two men standing. Cast in bronze and, here's the key, painted white! Painted white!
This is like a masterpiece theater. I can feel the white rage.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Where is General Mark Milley? There's some white rage happening in this studio. By the way, if you want to hop on now, we still have time for a few more. 844-500-4242. Let's go to Tom. Tom, are you ready for your Woker Joke headline?
First and foremost, Grace and Howie, I want to apologize for being white. So let's go on with the Woker Joke.
I know. It's getting to the point now, I was just running a call. It's almost to the point where you have to apologize for supporting yourself in this modern society. I don't get any hand. All I ask for is a moratorium on utility payments, rent payment, mortgage payments, real estate property tax payments.
You're speaking like a real oppressor right now. Why don't you just read the headline, Mr. White Man?
Okay, here it is.
Bring it on, Corn Pop. Bring it on, Corn Pop.
Oregon's Otzon Stadium replacing some urinals with, quote, non-patriarchal toilets, citing inclusion concerns.
That is definitely woke.
No!
Yay!
I'm sorry, Dave.
By the way,
that was
a joke. That's not true.
Hey, gosh. We needed to get one loser.
I'm sorry, Dave. Don't call Dave a loser.
It's Tom.
Tom, excuse me.
I'm a loser.
That's okay, Tom. I mean, that was a really... Can you read that headline again?
Oregon's Outzen Stadium replacing some urinals with, quote, non-patriarchal toilets, citing inclusion concerns. The ring of truth to it. There's no doubt about it.
What would a non-patriarchal toilet look like, though?
I don't know.
It's just a regular toilet that the urinal is the sign of the patriarchy.
Got it. See,
how about a trough like at Fenway Park?
Oh, those are the best.
Those things gross me out.
But is that patriarchal or is that asexual or non-gender or non-binary?
These are all good questions. Howie, do you have time to stick around?
Sure.
All right, let's load up the lines really quickly. 844-500-4242. We got a couple more Woker Joke headlines, so it's not too late for you to join in. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you kill me?
We've only had one loser so far today. By the way, Christina Sommers writes, where are all the women's rights groups? I've seen a few tweets here and there, but the silence is deafening. Hashtag Afghanistan. Stephen Miller replied, they couldn't find the New York governor's mansion, so I doubt they can make it to Kabul.
They're all organizing a demonstration for Tara Reid.
Oh, good. All right. At least
justice
they're...
for Tara Reid.
Perfect. All right. We have full
line
right now.
By the way, that
right
was
now.
A joke. That's not true.
It's time to play woke or joke. Let's go to Jack. You're next with Grace and Howie. Are you ready for your headline, Jack?
I'm ready.
Okay, Jack. Here's the headline. Dungeons and Dragons racial reckoning is long overdue.
That's got to be woke.
You are correct, sir.
Wow.
Not a joke.
This is from Wired. Dungeons and Dragons is the oldest and most popular tabletop role-playing game in the world. As its popularity has soared, so has its player base. It was a game dominated by white dudes for decades.
Oh,
that's all you need to know right there, although it goes on and on. But white dudes, kind of like yachting and polo.
Jared, you know what the question is. Are you a Dungeons and Dragons guy?
I am not a D&D guy. Just okay. Never got into it.
All right, well,
never
good.
Never did Magic the Gathering, none of that stuff.
I was going to have to send you a strongly worded press letter if you were. Let's
sternly worded.
Oh, sternly. Like deeply sternly. Earnestly.
Sternly is the proper newspaper cliche.
Okay, let's go to Chris. You're next with Howie and Grace. Are you ready for your woke or joke headline, Chris?
I am ready.
Okay.
Here it is, the headline. Chico State University launches pilot program to sell marijuana edibles at school store in student union.
Oh, that sounds woke to me.
Oh, no,
by the way,
Chris.
That was a joke. That's not true.
That sounded woke to me, too, I got to say. Usually I'm just sitting in my other office and getting them all wrong.
Yeah, no, but you know what? That I could see that as well. Let's go to Lenny. You're next with Howie and Grace. Are you ready, Lenny?
You ready, Lenny?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
Yes.
Church made famous by Paul Revere reckons with its ties to slavery.
I'm going to say joke.
Woke.
Oh, how he's
not
on a roll now.
Not a joke.
He's just crushing you guys.
Old North Church was made the same steeple, one if by land and two if by sea, and the BLM on the opposite shore shall be. Ready to have a peaceful protest for all, shooting at cops from across the common onto Tremont Street.
Wow,
I rewrote Henry Wadsworth Longfellow there. But apparently, this is a story from CNN this morning, that same steeple was made possible by the labor of enslaved Africans.
Why are we writing about this when we should be tearing this church down? Damn it.
Mr. Revere, tear down this staple.
Joe, you're next with Woker Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Joe?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Dear white vegans.
Oh, God.
Stop appropriating food.
Oh, man.
Joe, we need an answer.
I'm going to say woke.
Correct.
Oh, very good, Joe.
Not a joke.
Afia Amoaka. She became a vegan 5 years ago. She is a vegan Instagrammer and blogger. Here's what she says. These white women, they are the gatekeepers of the vegan movement. We black creators have been here this whole time.
Howie Carr, you did a fabulous job filling in for the Wizard of Woke. We thank you very much. We'll be back on the other side with Chris DeGaulle from townhall.com. Don't go anywhere. A lot more on The Grace Curley Show.